And now it's time for our Bible reading. And Celia, does it say something about that in the Bible as well?
It does indeed. For example, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, Paul wrote, "Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching." And in Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet."
Okay, so that means it's a really good idea for someone to read the Bible out loud and to teach from it so that we can learn and grow as people of God. Well, on that note, Nick is going to come and read to us, and then Jean will be teaching us. So, Nick, would you like to come up? And if there's any children and families that are further back and want to be have a front row seat, you are welcome to come further forward if you would like. But if you're happy where you are, no worries.
The reading is from Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14 in the Message Bible. But make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all your day-by-day obligations that you lose track of the time and doze off, oblivious to God. The night is about over. Dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work he began when we first believed. We can't afford to waste a minute, must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence, in sleeping around and dissipation, in bickering and grabbing everything in sight. Get out of bed and get dressed. Don't loiter and linger, waiting until the very last minute. Dress yourselves in Christ and be up and about. This is the word of the Lord.
So, we're all different. I know some of us, the moment, I've changed though in life, because I used to, the first thing I'd wake up, I couldn't bear lying in bed. I'd jump up, no matter what ridiculous o'clock, and get out, and I just wasn't happy lying in bed. And as I'm growing older, it is, how many of us love getting up as soon as you're awake? Okay. There's no shame, I'm just, it's a little straw poll. How many of you would be natural loiterers and lingerers and leave it to the last minute? Okay, you're not, in the Advent stakes, obviously that's not meant to be so good an outcome, but this is a metaphor, that's a way of explaining things. Someone asked me once, "Are you usually optimistic?" And I said, "I hope so." See what I did there? As a child, I remember a particular Bible verse, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of them is... Oh, he knew. Yes, so I knew from an early age, love was meant to be pretty important if you're a follower of Jesus. But I was a young teenager when I made the decision I wanted to be a follower of Jesus. And I knew I made that decision because I trusted in him. It was all about faith. So love and faith really mattered. But hope, I mean, what's that about? It didn't really register to me as a very significant thing. It seemed the Cinderella of the three. But actually, the older I get, the more important hope is becoming to me. It's a really underrated quality. And in our reading that we've just had read to us by Nick, Romans 15, Paul encourages his hearers to recognize what's going on in the world. He says, wake up, notice the new day. It's a very expressive, this is the Message translation. If you're not familiar with the Bible, just say, the original language is Hebrew, there's a bit of Aramaic and Greek in the New Testament. It's not very easy for most of us, so we have it in translations. And so there are different, some are very accurate, but a bit, you know, demanding. Others are more loose paraphrases. And there's a place for different ones. Sometimes we want a really accurate translation, but every translation is also an interpretation of what does it mean. And sometimes these paraphrase versions, they're a bit more loose, but they give the spirit of it. And I'm sure this is the way Paul was thinking about it. Get out of bed. Come on, don't you notice what's going on? He's inviting us, his readers and hearers, to notice the new day is arriving. But it's not just about a physical new day. He's talking about, have you noticed the new thing that God is doing? And by noticing what God is doing, his activity in the world can fill us with hope and energy. Because if we don't notice what God's up to, we could look at the world and just get very depressed. And that's not God's intention at all. So there's one of the verses he writes, Romans 15, 13. And today I'd like us just to think about this for a little bit. Could we say it together? You may not be able to read it, but hopefully by the end it will sort of, as we heard, your word have I hidden in my heart. So we can hide it in our hearts if we say it. Let's say it together. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're thinking about hope. It's the expectation something good is going to happen. It's trusting in a good future. And Advent is this season of waiting in the church. But it's not a passive, lazy wasting of time. It's an active, engaged waiting. And so we light a new Advent candle each week, counting down to the white candle lit on Easter Day. Just checking if you're listening. Christmas Day. That's what I remember. I remember the story now. When Jesus was born. You probably knew that. But he starts off talking about the God of hope. Who is the God of hope? Well, he's thinking about God the Father. Sorry, that's called a rhetorical question when I ask a question, but I'm going to tell you the answer anyway, but I'm sure you did know. God the Father, who created the world, is all good to reflect his glory. And then Jesus, who in hope died and rose again to save the world. And God the Spirit, who is the very essence and power of the love of God to transform us. And so this is the God Paul is thinking about, that the God of hope will fill us. How many of you have run out of petrol ever? It's happened to me twice memorably. First time it happened was the day our first set of twins was born. Shame on me. And there was indeed. I think I took it pretty well. It was Sue who was panicking. I don't really know. But she's not here to defend herself. But when you're running low, it's a bad feeling. I think I can probably make it. And it turns out, probably can't. But there's worse things to run out of than diesel or electricity or petrol. When we run out of hope, life just seems pointless. What is the point of going on? And the prayer of Paul is that the God of hope would fill them, give them a plug-in, resource them again. What with? Joy and peace. Is there anyone who feels they could do with a little top-up of joy and peace? Or is it just me? No, quite a few of us. You can never have too much of hope and joy and peace. It's actually quite a Christmassy thing. Maybe you'll be writing a Christmas card at some point, and it might have these words, joy, hope, and peace. I'd much rather feel it, though, and experience it than just write it on a card to someone or to receive it. Well, how's that going to happen? His prayer is that his friends will be filled. Let's say it again. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. We'll leave it just there for the moment. As we trust in God, as we put our faith in God. What is trust? What does it really look like? When you think, I'm going to commit, I think this is trustworthy. I tend to think of it like a dodgy bridge. And you might think, this is madness. Why would I possibly do it? But Jesus says, you can follow me. I've been this way already. I know you can make it. And if you were just to come across it by yourself, you'd think, this is crazy. Or other people might say, you don't try it. But if Jesus is next to you saying, I've been this way and I'm actually here with you and for you, it makes all the difference. We can do this together. And so despite the risk, despite maybe other people saying, you're being a bit mad, that's a bit stupid, I choose to trust Jesus. And when people say, I'm silly to trust in Jesus, I just think, they don't know my Jesus then. They haven't met him yet. Because they wouldn't say that if they had. May the God of hope, let's join in. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow. Overflow. You may not know what an overflow is, but if you ever use a bath or a sink, there's the plug hole. And in the northern hemisphere and in the southern hemisphere, the water goes down the same way. I was told it was different. But that's not my sermon. So that's something I learned from QI. If you're running the taps, it fills up, but it goes down the plug hole, usually in a spiral. But if there's more going in than coming out, you might need the extra bit, the overflow. But if there's too much even for that, it will actually overflow. Has anyone ever had an overflowing bath? That's just, it's quite a few. I never have baths. I do shower, so, but we don't need to go into my hygiene. But if you've got too much coming in, then it's going to come out. And what happens, I know a personal barometer for myself and my life, is what happens when people bump into me. When I'm full of the life of God, what spills out over people is hope or joy and peace and kindness. And my personal barometer is when I'm not as close to Jesus as I'd like to be, what comes out is irritation or anger or frustration. Have anyone else noticed that about themselves? Don't notice it about me, please. Okay. So Paul's prayer is, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you put your trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope. What spills out over other people will be something really beautiful. There's loads of people in this city who are very low on hope and joy and peace. And you might say, well, that's just sad. Well, it's not God's good intention for them or for his world. And we're to be the agents of overflow. There's lots of people of all ages running on fumes, running on empty, and they don't know where to find hope and joy and peace. And so my hope and prayer for me, and maybe for you too, is that we would grow closer to Jesus, so that these qualities would be flowing into us. And those of you who've brought a gift today are sort of part of that chain reaction. So you're giving gifts to children you will probably never know or meet. But you're giving a gift, and where our hope and prayer is that when a child receives that gift, it won't be meaningless, but meaningful. They will know someone cared enough. Someone gave this with generosity and kindness. Maybe there is hope. So would you all just stretch out a hand to these gifts? I don't know if you think you can bless inanimate objects, but let's give it a go just in case we can. And the prayer is that the child who receives each of these gifts will feel the love of God and the kindness of strangers and feel they have hope. So Lord, we pray that every one of these gifts, and I'm going to pray over these people who are stretching out their hands, that every one of these lives may be agents of overflow of your hope, your joy, and your peace to people who don't have it at the moment or not enough of it to get through. May these gifts be a blessing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And I'd encourage you, I learnt this verse off by heart many years ago, and I often pray it. It's a prayer of Paul, and you could learn it maybe every day in Advent, leading up to Christmas Day, and then you'll have it in your long-term memory to resource you. Let's say it together a last time. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said,
I think it looks like we're all done, and the tree is now full of hope, so of hopeful prayers. We're now going to pray together, and Naomi, Hope, and Beth are kindly going to lead us in our prayers. When each of them have finished their prayer with something along the lines of, may they know that they are loved, we will all join in with a firm amen. Okay, I can see you now.
We pray for all the children who will open one of these presents on Christmas morning. We pray that they will be blessed. May they know that they are loved. Amen. We pray for anyone who we know who is going through a difficult time because of pain in their bodies or minds in this season of Advent. We pray that you will help them, give hope and strength, and let them know that they can talk to you. May they know they are loved. Amen.
We pray for all the people in the world who are living in places where there are wars, and for those who don't have enough to eat, and for those who are cold. Please help the rich countries to be generous with the help that they give, and may all people in need know that they are loved.
And help us to be part of the answer to our own prayers, and may we know that we are loved. Amen. We don't take up a collection in this service, but we do want to say thank you to God for the work of this church and all the charities that we support. So let's say this together. All things come from you, O Lord, and all your presence have you given me. And finally, a prayer that the children have been getting familiar with in the children's groups of late. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven,
blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name
in the land that is plentiful,
where your streams of abundance flow.
Blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name.
Darkness closes in, Lord, stay.
say.